We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Defensive tackle Mike Fox was one of 7 athletes inducted into the WVU Sports Hall of Fame. Western University Director of Athletics Shane Lyons announced on Saturday. The other 6 include track and field's Kerry Bland, rifles Nico Campriani, football's Noel Devine and Dale Farley, gymnastics Luanda Moody, and women's basketball's Yinka Sani. Mike was a native of Akron, Ohio, and a 2-year starter at tackle, earning the 1989 Gator Bowl Most Valuable Player Award. In his final season, he led the team in quarterback sacks with 10 and posted 78 tackles. He was an honorable mention All-American by the Sporting News and was first-team Associated Press All-East and All-ECAC. A second-round draft choice of the New York Giants. He played with that organization until 1995 before moving on and signing a contract with the Carolina Panthers, where he finished his professional career in 1998. He started every game he played with the Giants and Panthers from 1993 through 1996. I caught up with Mike earlier today. Listen to what he had to say coming up right after this.
You know the sounds. You know that feeling.
Touchdown, West Virginia!
It's game day at Milan Pushkar Stadium. And game day only comes 6 times a year.
That kick is good! West Virginia wins it!
Join the 60,000 strong and gold and blue every game day. Get your tickets at WVUgame.com or by calling 1-800-WVUGAME. Be a part of West Virginia football. Be a part of game day.
Hey, congratulations on getting in the Hall of Fame, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Did what was your reaction when Shane called you and told you you were getting in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, I was pleased and happy, and you know, I appreciate everything West Virginia done for me, and you know, I'm a Mountaineer, and I pull for the Mountaineers, and just always want them to do as well as they can do.
You know, when I think of you and I, you know, look at your career, I think of you as the epitome of a Mountaineer player, a guy who developed himself and got better each year and, you know, put yourself in a position to get in the NFL. I think you were about, what, 215 maybe when you got to WVU?
Yeah, I mean, when I came to school there, I was like, you know, probably 6'4", 214. I was tall and skinny and, you know, putting weight on my body was really a hard thing to do. So, At this point in the game, I don't have that problem anymore, but back then I did.
Wolfley said you used to eat a pizza a night. Is that true?
I did, and, you know, more or less, you know, I mean, I was still hungry. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, the funny thing about a youthful metabolism is that, you know, it's like an inferno. You can put whatever you need down there because it's not going to affect you because you need something to burn. But as you get older, those same habits that you had as a young person, they do not apply.
No, they don't. Hey, what was the connection to West Virginia? Was it Mike Jacobs or Russ Jakes? Who recruited you from WVU?
Yeah, I had it was Russ Jakes, Mike Jacobs, and I want to say Mike Wallace.
Okay, yeah.
And then Coach Nealon and a few others. So it was at that time frame, you know, West Virginia, you know, recruited a lot of Ohio guys, and they got a lot of Ohio guys, and, you know, we really, you know, Coach Nealon put together a heck of a club, and you know, we had a good run while we were there. So, and then they had some good runs after I was there. So, you know, we need to get back to some of those runs again, you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, we need to get to those runs. You know, there weren't a ton of Akron guys. I remember, I think Stacy Smith was from Akron.
Yep.
And there was a guy before you, Jeff Marrow. Does that name ring a bell?
Yep.
I think he was Firestone High.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, so did you know much about West Virginia before they came and said, hey, you interested in coming here?
You know, I didn't know much about West Virginia at the time. I did follow them. I mean, I was like, I followed them when they started to recruit me, when they played in the Blue Bonnet Bowl. And, you know, I remember when they won that game. And, you know, I was like, oh, that was kind of cool because, you know, Coach Nealon sent me a memo or saying, hey, you know, how's it, you know, going? You know, check us out in the Blue Bonnet Bowl. Or some version of that, and then they won that game, and you know, I don't know, I had a good gut feeling about West Virginia. I mean, I got recruited to a couple, you know, other schools that I visited, and I don't know, I just felt good about going there.
What was your other options?
I got recruited by Michigan State, and it was George Perlis. From the Steelers, and then Nick Saban was the defensive coordinator up there. And I got recruited to Kentucky, and I think Dempsey was the coach down there. And they had some, you know, good ties with defensive linemen. And then I got recruited to, you know, Memphis State. And at the time, Memphis State, they were in the SEC. So, you know, that was my first trip. Never left Akron, Ohio, and, you know, got on my first plane trip and went to Memphis, and it was really cold in Ohio, and it was beautiful weather in Memphis, Tennessee on December 10th, I think it was.
Yeah, so you had some options then anyway.
Yeah, and, you know, I had boxes and boxes of letters and stuff like that. And, you know, I appreciated all those opportunities, and I just – my gut feeling told me to, you know, go to West Virginia, and it felt good there, and it worked out, thank God. Yeah, you know, so.
Sure did. You know, the one guy you didn't mention was Kerlav. What was your first impression of Kerlav when you got to West Virginia? You knew he was going to be the guy coaching you.
Yeah, I mean, Kerlav was my D-line coach. He didn't necessarily recruit me to start with. So it was because they did that stuff by regions. But, I mean, Kerlav was a heck of a coach. So, I mean, yeah, and he was hardcore. And definitely hardcore, but definitely he got me ready for the ends of wherever I ended up going, you know, with the Giants and then the Panthers. Because, you know, I had a hardcore high school coach. I had a, you know, then we went to college, and my D-line coach was, you know, hardcore as far as, you know, tough, you know. He got his players ready. There's no doubt about it. Kerlavich was and probably still is a great coach. I think he's retired now. But he definitely helped me definitely develop myself and get me going in the right direction.
So. Well, you know, that was kind of the what they were looking for. They were looking for tough guys. And they know they were – I'm sure that when they recruited you, they probably – there was no bones about it. They were going to coach you hard. They were going to work you hard. There wasn't any doubt about that, right, when you signed up with West Virginia?
Yeah, I mean football's a hard business. So, I mean, you know, I know that it's a they have different things they do today. But, you know, it's still – you know, you still got to push people and you still got to take them to the wall, so to speak. In other words, your body's like a piece of steel and you have to, you know, forge it. And the only way you can forge it and make it stronger is to work it. So and then that's how you win in the fourth quarter, because, you know, everybody can hang out for a couple quarters, but you got to be able to win in the fourth quarter. So.
Well, I'm sure, you know, the game was a lot different when you played it, even in your days in the NFL, than the way they're playing it today. You know, it's more of a space game. They don't hit as much in practice. I mean, you guys pretty much hit every day during camp. And I know you guys did 2 days.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I first came in the league, I was in the NFC East. And the NFC East was very brutal. It was, you know, a run-dominated league back then where they were, you know, running, you know, two-thirds of the time and passing one-third of the time, and now it's the reverse. And now you got a, you know, you got a lot of, you know, I'm going to call them spread plays or zone plays, where everybody's, you know, if they're running the ball, they're running left and running right, you know, going as fast as they can, some type of zone reach or zone cutoff. And, you know, what that creates is not a collision, but a near collision.
Yeah.
So it definitely changes the game. I'm not saying there's not clubs that won't do some smash mouth and that type of tactic, because, you know, those things still do work. But the game has evolved. So, yeah. I mean, you know, they've learned about, you know, concussions and it's more, and it ain't just about the concussions, it's about the collisions.
Yeah.
So that's why there's near collisions. So, anyways, long story short, the game has changed, and when I played, it was a lot different. But I mean, you know, you have to make the adjustment, and it's a pretty basic adjustment. So if you know what you're doing,
right? You know, if you were to play today's game, you wouldn't have to be nearly as big as you were when you got to the league, too. Probably, right?
Well, I mean, when I came into the league, I was, you know, we played a real 3-4. And we had to learn how to two gap. So I spent the big part of my career stepping with my inside foot, and then I had to go and learn how to mirror step with power and defend the B and the C gap with no movement on me, and I have to put movement back on them. And then, you know, you have to break into your, you know, pass route and your lanes for you know, the quarterback if it becomes a pass. But, you know, like I said, they ran the ball two-thirds of the time, and about one-third of the time they passed, and now it's the complete opposite. And you know, I think it'd be a little simpler,
right?
To be honest with you,
right? Right. All the zone plays and stuff, you didn't have it.
Well, I mean, it'd be a lot simpler, even though it's a pass, because it's, you know, you could You got the odds in your favor that it is a pass.
Well, the one element today that really quite wasn't there was the pass run quarterback. I mean, you had a few of them. Major was kind of ahead of his time, and I know in the Fiesta Bowl, Tony Rice was more of a running back playing quarterback, but you didn't really have that element today. You know, you've got all the quarterbacks that are mobile and can run and all of that. It's a little bit different in that regard.
I mean, it's definitely 11 on 11 now instead of,
right,
you know, 11 defenders against 10 offenders. So it's, you know, so they've evened that technically up. It's where you got to keep an eye on the quarterback that's mobile.
Right. Right. Some games that stick out in your mind at WVU. I'm guessing that Penn State game in 88 had to be one that sticks out immediately to you.
Oh yeah, that was a great game. I mean, you know, the Penn State Nittany Lions back then, you know, they were a very good ball club, coached well, and so on and so forth. So it felt good to beat them on that national TV game.
Yeah. And, well, you know, you guys did not fared very well. If you remember the year before up in 87, you guys had them on the ropes in the fourth quarter, and they came back and beat you up there.
Well, I know. And, you know, you hate to lose close games. Like I said, you got to win them in the fourth quarter because good teams will slug you back.
Yeah. Fess up to me now. At halftime of that 88 game, were you in the locker room making plans with the other guys to go down to Sunnyside and whoop it up and celebrate?
I don't know about that. I mean, when I played, I mean, I didn't have a problem having a good time, but mostly in the off season. So I didn't, you know.
So you weren't down at Sunnyside after the game, then, huh?
Well, I don't know if I wasn't down there, but I probably, you know, I might have been down there, but I don't remember that far back. But I do remember that we did have a, you know, it was a good day, and it was a good day for West Virginia football, and you know, we all had our good times when we had our good times, but the bottom line is we won that game. So,
well, if you remember, right before the end of the half, you guys are up, I think, 34-8, I think it was, and then Nealon's just going to run a draw play. Just to run out the clock, and Sandusky brings an all-out blitz. We catch him, and Undra runs for that long touchdown. Do you remember that right before the end of the first half?
Yeah. Undra was a great running back. Yep, they hit him good.
So. Hit him good with that, and then you got to be thinking, well, this is our day. We hit a draw play on him for a touchdown right before the end of the half.
Well, you know what? You think it's your day. But that's 30 minutes of football or so, and there's still another half to go. And, yeah, things were looking like they were going to be good for us that day. And, you know, and they ended up well. But I've learned along the way that, you know what, until that clock says 0-0-0, that game's not over. So you got to play to the bitter end.
Right. Well, Festival, what was the biggest disappointment for you in that game?
I think the biggest disappointment was that we lost. We lost to Notre Dame, which was a great team, and we lost with we got our quarterback knocked out. You know what, the third play of the game, so that didn't help any, and kind of took the momentum away from what we could do. But I guess that was the biggest disappointment is the loss. I mean, the climb to getting there, and especially after all the years before we got to that 88 season, and we had a couple tough years in there, and you know, where we all had to grow and learn and become a whole lot better if we wanted to compete at the national level. And we actually we got to the national level, so that was even better. And we did it as an independent school. So,
right.
I mean, once upon a time, we weren't in the Big East and we weren't in the Big 12. We were just an independent school, you know, trying to win and go make some money, right? As a bowl, you know, for bowl time, you know.
Right. You know, you mentioned Major's shoulder injury on the third play. I think maybe it was Stroya that got nicked up too, or. But, you know, the injury that I thought was really big, and this actually happened before the bowl game, is when Whitmore got hurt. And that really changed your defense. If you remember, they had to switch guys around in the secondary. I think they had to move Bo from strong to free. And that kind of got you a little bit disorganized in the back end. And Notre Dame really took advantage of it, didn't they?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that they did. But I'm going to say that, you know, if a guy's asked to step up, it's time to step up. And if they ask you to move over and do this, then it's your job to do that. And, you know, football's a funny game where it's, you know, it's next man up mentality, no matter who's there or not there. I don't care if he's an A player or a C player, but on game day, you better be an A player because that's your job. That's why you're there.
Well, I mean – So. You learned that in the Super Bowl 25. I mean, look what Hostetler did when Sims got hurt, and he stepped up. And they weren't asking him to go out there and throw the ball 30 times a game, but he didn't make killer mistakes. And you guys, that defense. I mean,
we were very fortunate for lots of different reasons. I mean, number one, you know, we were the number one defense in the country that year, and it was a, you know, I don't think I've ever achieved that status again after that year. But, you know, Haas stepped up and did a great job. I mean, you know, Coach Parcells, you know him, you know, great coach, tough as nails, and he expected everything out of his players to be the same. And then Bill Belichick was their defensive coordinator, and Romeo Crennel was my D-line coach at the time. And so you all know those names, and those guys are all great coaches, and they take their players and they get the best out of them, that's for sure. And Haas stepped up and won the game, and, you know, he's a Mountaineer too. And so, you know, thank God we had Jeff Hostetler, because usually you get to the backup quarterback, there you don't really know.
You know Romeo Crennel had a West Virginia connection too, right? You know his brother Carl played at WVU.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, Carl was a great player at West Virginia in the late 60s. Played for Carlin and played for Jim Carlin. Bobby Bowden recruited him.
Okay, well, good to know. That's good to know. Yeah, that's good.
But you know that Giants team. You know, that was the team that was really suited to beat the Bills. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. I was researching that game a little bit. You know, Buffalo had four Hall of Famers on offense. And, you know, they had put, 51 on the Raiders in the AFC Championship game. And you guys were heavy underdogs in that game.
Well, I mean, going into that game in particular season with those folks, you know, the Buffalo Bills were pretty intimidating. Okay, so they were putting 50 points, 60 points up in the playoffs. And, you know, we're going in there, you know, we have to stop them. So
yeah, but you know something, though? You guys did shut down the 49ers. And, I mean, you guys shut them down. And I think you knocked Montana out of that game, didn't you?
I was part of that. I helped do that.
So. You remember the play? Concussion, right?
I don't know. I don't know if he got a concussion, but I mean, I don't, you know, I just recall, you know, he was rolling to the left and LT came in and I was there and LT kind of missed him, but I stayed in front of him, put my hands up in the air. I saw Leonard Marshall on the corner of my right eye. He fell down, but he got back up briskly and then, you know, made the play, but I kept my hands up. I tried to keep my contained position and keep my hands up in the air. Joe couldn't really see over top of me, and then Leonard made the hit, and I kneeled right on top of him, but I didn't, you know, I was just part of the play. So
part of the play. Well, it was a big play in the game, and guys got you part of getting you to the Super Bowl. What do you remember about the build-up leading into that game? Did it play out the way Parcells and everybody planned it? I mean, there was a drive in that game where your offense had the ball for like 10 minutes.
You know, any time that you have an offense that can consume the ball, like our offense did that year, for especially when they needed it the most, that's a great feeling when you're on the defense. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that game went a lot of different ways. I mean, there was
before the game. You got down early. You got down 12-3 early, right? Something like that.
Yeah. Before the game, I mean, you know. From what we all heard, you know, they supposedly already sent all their stuff over. The 49ers already sent their stuff over to Tampa Bay area for the Super Bowl in Tampa.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of heard that. So, we get out there and, you know, it's the 49ers, and back then when the Giants and the 49ers played, they were war games. Those were hard games, and we had a couple others like that as well. But you know, in particular, the Niners, you know, we were their nemesis, and I guess they were ours. So we got through that, and we definitely hard-fought game, you know, great players on both sides of the ball. And I'm glad that we won that game because, you know, you don't want to lose that game, and then you don't want to lose the Super Bowl game. And the irony of that season was, if we go back, so we lost, we lost our, I think we went 10-0, and then we lost to Philadelphia. Then we lost our quarterback in Philadelphia, Phil Sims, at that time. Then Jeff stepped up, and then along the way we lost to Buffalo. And yeah. Then we lost to the 49ers, okay? Right. So then we got to, you know, reconcile our differences where we got to go back and play the 49ers and beat them in the game that matters. But it was hard to go into Candlestick Park back then and win a game.
Right, right.
But we won that game, and then we went down into Tampa for the Super Bowl, and, you know, we got to play the Buffalo Bills, who beat us at home on a I want to say we had an ice storm day, and it was just a bad day for everybody trying to get to the stadium and et cetera. But we lost that game. So we got to make up for that against them in the Super Bowl. But I'm, you know, those guys were very good. They had a lot of weapons.
But, you know, you lost to them in the regular season, but you pretty much contained them. It wasn't like they went around, you know, they run up and down the field on you.
No, I know, but you still lost the game.
Right, I understand.
But I get it, yeah.
Did you have a feeling when you went down to Tampa that you guys were maybe laying in the weeds a little bit, that people weren't really respecting you? Did you have a little chip on your shoulder a little bit?
Well, I don't know about I'm going to say – you know, the media, I don't think, overly respected us. They probably didn't think we were going to win that game. But, you know, I don't really pay that much attention to any technical medias. But we were definitely the underdog going into that game. And we did come out with the victory. You know, that was a hard-fought game, and on any other day, it could have been the other way around.
Well, I was going to say,
on that day, it was 20-19. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, where were you when Norwood kicked the field goal? Did you get a good angle of it to see where the ball was?
I was in the field, so
you got the best angle.
Yeah, me and Eric Howard were out there, and you know, a lot of folks, they probably don't see this part; they just see the wide right part, but. You know, I remember Eric Howard, the nose tackle, saying, "Look, man, if you ever want anything more in your life, man, let's dig these guys out." So we, you know, you go back and look at the film, you'll see we knocked them guys back as far as you could, and hopefully that was enough to cause a distraction to, you know, move that ball a little to the right. So
well, that makes sense. You're 6'7", so you would be on a field goal block team.
Yeah, yeah, but like. Yeah, like I was saying, it was, you know, you don't know what, you just go give it your all, and then you hope it all, you know, shakes out for a W, because there's a lot of work that goes into it, you know what I mean?
So. Right, right. You got a quick LT story?
I mean, you know, Lawrence Taylor, you know, great athlete, and, you know.
He might be the best ever, Mike, at that position.
Hey, he probably is one of the best. I don't know too many people that would, you know, be there next to him. A lot of great athletes played the outside linebacker position, but I'm gonna think LT probably played it the best so far. I haven't seen too many people come up to that, but I mean, you know, LT was LT, and you know, he's well documented, and but deep down inside, he's a good guy.
Yeah,
and he wants to win. He wanted to win football games. You know what I'm saying? So that's the bottom line. He wanted to win, and he's a winner. And he definitely, you know, when he was on, he was on.
So. Did he have an aura about him on the field? Did he have an aura about him in practice, or was he just a regular guy?
I mean, you know, he was LT, so yeah. That's all I could say.
Yeah. How about Bill? How about Bill Parcells? You know, you mentioned he was a tough guy. Was he a good guy to deal with?
I mean, you know, the best part about those coaches Even though they were tough and hard, I'm going to say most of them were all, they were tough, hard, but they were fair.
Yeah.
So, you know, they tell you the way it was, and you know, there was no candy coat, nothing, and trying to make somebody feel better about themselves because that really wasn't part of the program there. So they definitely, you know, if you had five bad things happen to you in a game, you're going to know about it, you know, till you get it corrected. You know what I'm saying?
So. Right, right. And it's a business, too. I mean, you only got so many opportunities.
They only keep their job if they win football games.
Right.
And you know, you only keep your job if you can do your job. So,
right.
You know, you don't get to bury nothing and hide it too long because it's not corporate America. This is like, you know, the eye in the sky is watching you every second. So if you either won or you lost.
Yeah.
That play. So you got to win more plays than you lose. You know, you got to win more plays than you lose.
Right, right. Mike, best piece of football advice you ever got?
The best piece of football advice I ever got was the only play that's important is the next one. So you just refocus and get going. If you had something good happen, great. If you had something bad happen, don't worry about it. Just keep going.
Yeah. Don Nealon. What did Don Nealon mean to you?
I mean, Coach Nealon, man, he let me come to West Virginia. And, you know, I got a scholarship to go there, and I was, excited to be part of the program. And, you know, he was a very good coach, and he ran his organization good and fair. And, it was a hard organization too. I mean, we worked our butts off there. I mean, Coach Al Johnson, people don't talk about him lately, I don't know, but he was a great strength coach, and you know, he helped, you know, pull a lot of things together there too. So I liked coach was honest and fair, at least everything with me he was.
Yeah. Well, Kurlav, what did Kurlav obviously he was a guy that, you know, was a kind of a kind of an iconic guy in West Virginia, and everybody loved Kurlav. What was your thoughts of Kurlav?
I mean, Kurlav, he's still yelling at me even to this day. So, I mean, if you thought you had two a days, then that was fine. But you know, if Kurlavich was your coach, you had three a days because you had him in your sleep and so on and so forth. But he's very, very good coach. He definitely prepared us and got us ready for everything that we needed to know how to do and defend. And, you know, your coach is not supposed to be your best friend.
Did you overall, was your experience, was it a good one at West Virginia? Were you pleased with what you got out of West Virginia?
I mean, I got educated at West Virginia. I got my degree at West Virginia, and I got to, you know, play some football and get to the next level at West Virginia. So, and all the people that I met along the way there in particular have been just awesome, the most awesome people I've ever met. And you know, even to this day, I mean, I come back.
I wanted to ask you, you went back to the Joswiak, and were you one of the guys that took a tour of the locker room?
I was here.
What'd you think of it?
It's very impressive. Very impressive.
A little different than what you had when you guys were dressing in there, right?
Hey, it's a lot different, but you know what? Back when we were there, I mean, that was an awesome locker room too, you know?
So, but you know, like, something? You know, I don't
everything
know.
Everything evolved.
You know what, Mike? I don't know. Judging the guys that I knew, a lot of the guys on that team, I'm not sure that really mattered to the guys that played West Virginia at the time. That bling and all that stuff. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't think that was why you guys played football at West Virginia.
I mean, we didn't we had a locker room, and it was better than the one we had in high school, I'm sure, by any standards. But, you know, everybody that came there, they were there to, you know, play some football and, you know, be the best as they can be. And, it was a great facility because, when we were there, and it's a pretty awesome facility now. So, I mean, I know that the, you know, everything evolves and everything makes changes, and, you know, it's all about recruiting and all that stuff. And you know, you can have a lot of great stuff, but if you don't got the guys to go do it, then guess what? You just got a lot of great stuff. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
So right.
Hopefully
right.
all the great, hopefully all the great stuff that we have there that we helped get to this point, you know, helps get a couple good guys that want to play some West Virginia football. So West Virginia football, you know, starts with a bunch of, you know, tough guys, offense, defense, special teams, coaches. So, I mean, the whole nine yards. So, you know, it's still football. So.
Last thing here, were you happy with what you got out of your pro career? I know you signed that good contract with the Carolina and finished out your career there. Did you get everything out of it? Did you hope to?
You know, I'm very blessed. I got, you know, I got to play football, and that's what I wanted to do. And then I got to make some good money, and that always helps. I got everything I could get out of it and then some. So, I mean, I'm very happy, and I've been able to do different things and make different companies and buy different things to do this and do that. And, you know, I've been blessed, and I've definitely got everything out of it that I wanted to and then some.
Well, I was going to say, you've always been a pretty resourceful guy. I know I can remember when we were in Charlotte the first time around, you had that limousine service. And I know you've done other things. You've had a number of different businesses. So are you at the point now where you're kind of semi-retired, or are you still at it working hard?
You know, I am starting to downsize different parts of what I do, because it's going to take me 10 years to slow down everything I started. So I'm serious.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm going to say that I've been downsizing different things for lots of different reasons, but mostly to, you know, I'm going to be 54 in a couple days. So my birthday is on August 5th.
Yeah.
So it's time. If it's going to take me about 10 years to wind everything down, then I better start now, right? So.
Right. Well, where do you see yourself in 10 years? You're going to be sitting someplace sipping umbrella drinks, or?
I'm not. I will always do something.
Yeah.
So I will always do something.
How many people you having coming up for the Hall of Fame? I guess you guys are getting inducted on the 30th before the Iowa State game. Have you made plans yet for that?
I'm working on it. So.
Still working on that, trying to figure out. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, we got to induct two classes. We got to induct one. I think they're doing it 2 weeks before. And then your class, you've got Noel Devine, which a name I'm sure you remember. And then Dale Farley, who was a outside linebacker, inside linebacker back in the 60s. So there's three football guys in this class.
Okay.
So it ought to be a lot of fun.
And that was 2021 Hall of Fame inductee Mike Fox. Thanks for listening to this special WVU Sports podcast.